Our precious Heavenly Father, we trust that each and every one of us will let you have your way tonight. Bless this message for you and your Son's glory. And in His name we pray. Amen. You that have your Bibles, we will continue in our study in Romans chapter 7. That's Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin. Not had sin, but did know what sin really was. But by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taken occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of computiousness, for without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was that then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, or everything spiritual. There's nothing, one drop of the law that isn't spiritual. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Notice it isn't sin that lives in. That has been taken care of with the death of Christ. See? Sin no longer lives, but dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. This 18th verse seems to just completely contradict 8:1. Huh. That's Romans 8:1. Looks like he completely contradicts himself when he gets there on that 18th verse. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin, see, that dwelleth in me. It don't live in me. This identifies where sin is. It's in the flesh. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Now the me is the two eyes. Understand that. That's who me is. These two, we're coming to the two natures now here. You get over here in 8:2, and you'll say, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. He's going to drop all these I's when he gets over here in 8. And it's going to be not I against I anymore, but it's the Spirit. And the I's are gone. And it's me has delivered me. So that will kind of make you see what it is there. Verse 23 again. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. I'll say something about this real quick because sometimes I don't ever say it again. There's so much in each one of these things. When you get over into Galatians, you'll find out there that the spirit wars or the spiritual life wars against the flesh. It isn't the devil. It isn't anything else. It's your two eyes. Leave everything else out of it. This involves you. And it's your battle. And it's going to be your battle. This here, that we're reading right here, these from 15 to 25 is the main battle that you'll have in Christianity. You will never, ever be an overcomer until you resolve this here battle. This is the battle of you. The armor is the outward battle. In Ephesians, you get ready for that battle when you have resolved this battle. Unless you have resolved this battle here, your two eyes, you will never be fit to actually fight against principalities and powers outwardly. Because you're with a battle within. If we get to 8:1, finally people, they resolve that it's what God's doing for them and God only. But then they condemn themselves for what they did 100 years ago. This battle must be resolved in your life. That's why it's in the 7th chapter, just before the spiritual chapter. And every Christian goes through this battle because it's a principle. See here, 21, that's a principle. You know what a principle is? It's 1 and 1 is 2. That'll never change. I don't care what you call it. If you got one finger up and another finger up, it's 2. This is a principle in your life. Sin in the flesh. And it will not change. And he's talking about two principles here that will not change your entire Christian life. And unless you realize what the answer is, of course, the answer there is 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The two principles are clearly there. And, of course, Christ is the answer to everything. Going back where we started, 7:7. Well, I'll go to 6, so we'll kind of tie in what we had last time. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, and we were held. We were held in union to this husband. And until that was taken. taken care of, that's where we were held. There was no way out for any of us. That union bonded us to Adam, that husband, till death. He had just went through and explained those two things. And nobody can break that union except death. He just explained that. So it was explained that the husband died and she died. It is completely dissolved. And we count with God and we know with God that that union is completely and forever gone. So he said, being dead, wherein we were held, it's just worthless to try to, with good works, with religion, or anything else, to try to struggle, except through death. You will be held, and you will serve, continue to serve sin. Because that's the principle of it. That we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The newness of spirit is, of course, the new heart and the new life. It's a spiritual sonship. And instead of the oldness of the letter was with fear or with self-righteous fear that you was going to break it every morning and condemning yourself when you did. The oldness of the letter. Now you're a child. The very child of God. So this is, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say? What are you going to say? And then the eighth, and over in the eighth chapter, he's going to say, what do we say to these things? My dad would always say, praise God. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's all I'm going to say. How about you? So, but what are we going to say to this? These two things that he keeps giving us. The two rounds. The two husbands. The two principles of a realm which we're in. That there is no escape, either in the realm of sin or the realm of righteousness. So, he says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known, not that I didn't have, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, Paul here, of course, he's down in the 10th verse. In the 9th verse, he says, I was alive without the law. What he did here was he is telling you that I really never was aware of really what sin was. And nobody is till they're saved. You know that before, you knew something was wrong, but you were not really aware of what sin was until you were saved. Because you couldn't. Because you were in that realm of darkness. So when Paul got saved, he said there in 9, I was alive without the law once. Now, he was never alive when he was a sinner. He was dead. But after he got saved, he was free, but right away he went through what everybody does go through. They go right back and try to perfect their self-righteous life. That's why when we went through six, you'll notice through six that you reckon the old man is dead. You never reckon that you're dead with the old man because he is dead. You reckon yourself. See, as a whole, the old man is dead. As far as God is concerned, there isn't one thing in Adam that is alive to him. Not one thing. So you reckon self, or you'll never get there. He is dead. Whether you realize it or not, or whether I realize it or not. So Paul says, I didn't really know what sin was. I didn't know what the law had said about lust until after I got saved. And that same thing come up in me, that I lusted for the same big place I had that I lusted for when before I was saved. And that was the top spot in the temple. The other places, I exceeded more than anybody my age. There was nobody around me that I knew of that knew what I knew. And that's where I lusted for that position. See, that's a lust that is unreal. And after he got saved, he still had that lust, and we still have that lust. You see, that isn't the mind of Christ at all. The mind of Christ, when he first starts off, is he made himself of no reputation. It isn't just fate. You know, I go along faith to get up every morning. I don't know what I'm going to do. I live, we'll just let the day go and see how God brings it about. I don't plan anything. I'll just get wasted today and see what happens. Huh. You see? That isn't what he's talking about at all. He's talking about a self-glorying life. And Christians have it. Why, if you don't think Christians have it, turn your TV on. You see? Why, that is this lust that had caught him. When Jesus left in John, he said, now the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he is going to take the things that are mine and give them to you, and he's going to glorify me. And that mind is the same mind of the other eye that's fighting this other eye. This other eye wants to be promoted. This other eye does not want not to get up with a wasted day, but walk in the Spirit and allow what God brings, knowing that God loves you, that you are exactly in the will of God, and you can't do any more than that. And there are not very many people that'll get up this in the morning and do that. They will not be satisfied with what God has for them. Perfect love casts out all fear. You see, that's what this mind is warring against. And if I had a father that had everything, and you were trying to stick a knife in me, and he was all powerful and he loved me, I'd just be laughing at you. See? Well, that's you, isn't it? Or is it not? That is you. So that's what he's warring against. He's going to make it, as all Christians have to when they start out, they, like Abraham, he had to let his father start leading the way. And he led him in the wrong direction. And he stayed there until his dad died. Or he knew the old man was dead. You see? Every Christian starts off. You can see that this fight is he wants. He has a life in him that wants to do it. But, of course, he says he hasn't found the answer, but he has found the answer when he gets over in the 8th chapter. And until you resolve this two fights, you're never going to get over to where you can fully be what God wants you to be. You say, well, there's a lot of people that don't believe that look what they're doing. Look how big their operation is. As Jesse talked this morning about, few there be that find it. That's one of your clues, ain't it? You better not go where there's a whole bunch of people. Few be that find that. Yeah, I know I'm in the wrong place now. Look at all these people. Now, that really make them mad, so don't tell them that. You know, I can really level it out sometime. But it's so. See, few be that ever find. But Paul, he is struggling with his self-righteousness. He wants a little of that glory. But there's glory enough to do the will of God. So, he said, I didn't really realize what sin was before I was saved, before I had the mind of Christ, and nobody does. And then he realized, I'm going right back in the same thing I had before I was saved. I'm wanting this glory for myself, or at least some of it. He was saved. He loved the Lord. But there is some of the glory. You see this commercial that they have. They have a translator, a professional translator, to tell how he gets his car insurance, wrecks a car, and they're saying, you know, this is a real thing. I really didn't have to go through a big hassle. They paid off right away. And they got a midget on there. And they show you exactly what it is. You see? What he does is he tells that they got it, but the only thing he wants to tell you is it's his birthday. See, some people cannot take even a verse out of the Bible without telling you it's their birthday. See, they want to tell you something about themselves. What's that got to do with that guy's birthday? Huh? And what has it got to do about our own self-righteous works? See? And that's why he said, I died. And then I died to the Spirit. Because the Spirit, Jesus said, will only come to glorify me. and me alone. So, he says, I was alive without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was, now this is not ordained to life. It means I thought it was. The law doesn't give life. It condemns. It neither can justify or sanctify you. Neither. It condemns you. And like it said, God doesn't give any rewards for trying. That's why if I go through this with a person that's determined that you've got to do certain things, you quote the law to them, and of course they're only interested in the last five of the doing and the don'ting part. They're not interested in the love part that brings the doing and the don'ting part. In fact, the sinner never even really sees that part. So therefore, you ask them, well, are you complete, if you're, you think we have to do and keep the law, are you doing it? And they get mad. Well, I'm trying. I'm not like you. See that? Ooh. Huh? That's what you run into. That's self-righteousness. Well, that's what Paul found out, like you'll find out. You'll find out you can't do one thing without Jesus and his life. That's how this life operates. It's a life of love. That's what it is. That is the principle of the whole thing is love. My dad, I was telling Jesse, Dad told me, he says, well, the whole principle of God is love, son. That's it. And I says, well, it says he's a spirit, and he's a light. And he said, yeah, well, that's the things. Of course, he's light and he is spirit, but his principle is love. See that? That's the whole principle of God, is love. And it isn't what you'd call a stupid love. See? That's what he's going to get to. This ain't no stupid love. This is a spiritual love. This is a perfect love. And it casts out all fear. How could you ever be fearful? And you'll never come into this perfect love, just like Paul couldn't, until you resolve this. That'll go on inside of you until you do. So, and of course, once you, there's nothing like it, because there's nothing like love. Well, Shakespeare said that all types of love is blind. So, you know, he must have been reading 1 Corinthians 13. I figure that's where he got it. And in a way, yeah, it says, you know, a mother's love. Yeah, when I was in the service, boy, when they hit you and pulled some guy up that sat down on his bed, and that guy just threw him across there, and he says, "Who do you think I am, your mother?" You know, he didn't say, "Who do you think I am, your father?" Did he? Your mama. See? So there's loves that has been given. But this love, this is God's own love. And Paul, you can believe that Paul, like Dad, prayed all night. Mom thought he was translated because he couldn't love this person. Matter of fact, he took them when they come in and he took them by the face and clear out the door. And he could do it back then. I mean, he could do it. You see? Well, he was completely right in the deal, but he knew that he didn't love that person. That was in his early ministry. He was like that. And when he came down on this, wham, there was other people that I seen try to do it, and oh, they grabbed their hand. How does he shake this whole church when he does that? See? And that could put some fear in you. I mean, I had that hand correct me a few times. I can tell you it was real. And you see, this is the love he's talking about. And if you don't get it, you can't get out here and fight principalities and powers. How are you going to do that? You're going to end up trying, like a lot of these people that are saved, look what happens to them. Why? Why does that happen? See, they haven't resolved this. And matter of fact, they think they're lost. They think, some of them think that this is talking about awakened sinner. You know, that's predestination. According to sovereignty, and he's been awakened, now he can hear God. He's still a sinner. Well, this ain't a sinner. A sinner don't love any part of God's word. See? Nor does he hate his sin. Not hate it, you know. See, he's talking about a person that has put themselves back under law. That's exactly who he's talking about. Paul, do you think he was morally having a battle here? You think he was going wild? Now, he said it. After I really understood sin, it began to work all kinds of things in me. Because I could sit down in a church and a person across the... when I was trying to really do it on my own, I could come in and sit down in a church and see somebody that had said a bunch of stuff about Paul, and I hated him. And I knew, woo, now I know what sin is. See what he experienced? So now let's get to what he says, the commandment which is ordained to life, I found to be to death. Now, it isn't ordained. He meant, I thought that by keeping the law, that I would get a better part of life. Okay? And it fooled me. Because sin and death came out of a good thing. Out of the garden, a good. Did God pronounce everything good? Everything good? Everything good? And then when he made them, this is very good. But out of that came death. Why? Why out of the good law comes death? Because it's given to a sinner. Why good things that God has given us come sin? And I'll say this, just this one thing, and I could go right down a big list. What about sex? A good thing is made sin. A thing of ordained of God is made sin. And we could go right on down, right on down. A good thing, like the law, has no business in me if I'm a sinner. Here it's like you thought some guy was going to go help you fight some guy that had beat you up every day of your life, and you got down there and both of them jumped on you. That's what you'll find out. You see? I thank God through Jesus Christ that He's delivered me from all this. So, I want to get through this seventh chapter. There's a lot more there, but I'm going to go on. For sin taken occasion by the commandment, everybody thinks that. Did you know everybody thinks? And everybody, naturally they're going to think that. If you've got some guy out here trying to do good deeds all the way, in his own strength, what are they ever going to say about that? What can be more deceiving than that? Nothing. Talk about being deceived. That's why the Old Testament, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is death. And it slew me. When he really seen what it was, he realized that he, as we'll end here, was sold. He was the property of sin, if that's where you put yourself. Wherefore the law is holy. If it's used right, given its right place. And Timothy, he says, Timothy, use it right. Admit, it found me guilty. I have no place trying to deal with that law on my own strength. I'm a creature that's made that'll fail every time. Every time. But I'll fail never once when I do it the right way. See, the law is for two things. First, it's to show you can't do it. And then it shows you the way you can do it. Understand that. Now, you're not rid of sin in the flesh, but not only are you free, it says, from law, but you're rid of law. But you're not rid of sin in the flesh. That's the principle of this whole thing. So it's good, but sin, that it might appear. Sin, working death in me, but that by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And only after you're saved, and only after you really get your eyes open, can you ever really understand what sin is. For we know that the law is spiritual. Now here's the two principles. But I am carnal, sold under sin. That's the whole trouble right there, the two principles. The law, God's holy law, is a complete spiritual thing. The first commandment is what? Love. It's a complete principle that cannot be changed. Love is the most powerful thing there is. Because you do what you want to do because you love. So it's completely spiritual. You don't have to go any further, do you? Because you can't go any further. But I am carnal, sold under sin. And when the devil sinned, he was given what no other creature could be given, because he was completely given everything in the power of God had to give him anything, and the pleasures of anything. And instead of loving the Lord his God with all his heart, he turned that love to himself. That's it, isn't it? Huh? That's it. That's what Paul found out. You know what I'm really doing? I'm trying to turn even what God now has did for me to love myself. It's the same thing the devil did, isn't it? Huh. You see that? So, he says, there's just two principles of this, and that's the problem. I'm carnal. I've got that same thing, and don't point your finger at somebody else and say, man, that guy's the one that's doing that. See, when you, in your own strength, begin to think that you can do any more than somebody else without the Lord Jesus Christ and without his love life in you. See, he give you a life that just automatically does that. That's what it does. You know, you don't. Now, Paul would have never had to tell me to love my wife. I don't know why. I guess he had to tell some husbands to do that. See? But, you know, I thought, well, man, that's really messed up. Isn't it? Now, isn't it? So, you get that part, and then now you can go through this battle, which this is not. This is Paul himself. He's talking about Saul and Paul. And Saul and Paul. He goes now, he's went twos and twos, and now he goes to two natures. And he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now you can see that this is no awakened sinner. This is a new creature in Christ that's fighting with an old nature. And the old nature, Saul, wants that self-righteous Pharisee back. And Paul wants to lay all the glory at the feet of the Lord Jesus. He said, I labored more than y'all, but it was Christ within me that did it. He said, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. So then he says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, a lot of them saying, well, that's a sinner can say that the law is good. Now, like I said, the sinner and society does look at that last five part of the law. Naturally, they know murder is murder because God put that in them. But this is not. This is Paul wanting to put himself back under the law. And he found out that he can't keep it when he was finally knew what real sin was. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth with me. Now he said, it isn't the new life that does the sin anymore. It's the sin that dwelleth in. And who? In me. In the real who I am. Sin is in the flesh. And it's weakened the flesh. And God told Adam, when he come, he says, now you go back there to that dust. And that's where it'll take you. And that's where it will take you. Now, Of course, God and everybody will be resurrected. Some to a horribleness. You haven't ever seen a movie from Hollywood that pictures a being to what they'll look like when death. They send in that body and they'll live in that body. And there was no deliverance and no life as far as anything. I can't give it to you because you can't imagine it. What the second death is. You can't imagine it. And nevertheless, he said, who's going to deliver me, the me? So let's read in. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, so we know where it is, dwelleth no good thing. For I know. Have you come to it? Have you come finally to knowing that except for the Lord Jesus Christ and grace for grace, John 1, grace for grace. You take grace, he'll give you more grace. But that's all he'll give you. And he can do anything through that grace. You don't come to this and finally know that in me. Now, he doesn't say in the eye or the bad eye. He says in me. The thing that the two eyes are. See? Now, he's going to finally say over in the Spirit, no condemnation. Because there isn't. But the me here dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now realize he's here. Realize that. Because over here in 8, he has found. But as long as you stay here, you will find no way to perform. You'll fail every time. And if you cover it up, you'll get just like the other Pharisees that cover themselves, and within is what? Fake and phony. Not the love of God. And that's what'll be there. So, now he says, in this condition, there's no power without the life of Christ, and that life is dependent upon the Holy Ghost. Completely. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Only a saved man could have that battle. A sinner don't have that battle. I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. In other words, in that myself, I can do nothing of myself. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now Jesus gave him that life. He delighted in the law of God, of course, love, after the inward man. But I see another law. This is the two principles that you are in right now. But I see another law in my members. See, it's in, dwelleth in me, it's in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Now the mind is the will. See, that's what it means. Not my will, but thou'lst be done. That's all it is. It wars against your mind to not say, this is what it says, this is what it means. Okay? You war against what You read something like this, and what do you do? Satan will tell you war against your mind, telling you, don't obey God. That's all it is. He wars against your mind not to believe God. Not to believe what God says. That's what he did to start. He says, hath God said? He warred against his thoughts. That's all it amounts to. And has the Bible now said that you're completely rid of and free from the law? And if you go back in your own strengths to try do it, you put yourself under a curse? Does it not say that in Galatians? And that means regardless of who you are. He says, he that does this, whether he's saved or whether he isn't, puts himself under a curse. That doesn't mean he's going to be lost. After reading this, you know that. It means there's no growth in his life. So, it wars against what my will is. I have no man like-minded. They all care for, it's my birthday, and it's my birthday. I want to tell you about Jesus, and it's my birthday. See? Huh. It's hard not to, you know, put a little of yourself in there, especially some people you're talking to. You know, don't you want to get to know me a little? Huh? That's all right after a while, but who are you going to glorify? Who do you love? And he loves you. That's what he's doing. He's putting that mind in you to love him. And this isn't a hard love, a stupid love, a hate love relation. This is spiritual love. The greatest feeling that you will ever know or ever experience. Nothing even comes close to it, Sister McGuire. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? It's me again, over in 2, has made me the real me now. See, I'm not two persons. These people with 100 personalities. See, you just got two natures fighting the me. Which one are you going to yield to? The one that wants self-glory or the one that wants to be glorified with him forever when we get over in the 8, 17, 18, and 19? That it isn't even all that stupid glory that you was wanting here isn't even a comparison to what it is to be glorified together with him. Let's stand.